Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
There you go, Sue. We're doing a little 70s. Throwback for you.
I love it.
This is one of my favorite all-time songs. I do like this song very much. Hey, it's Mike Elaman for Mark Reardon. Thanks to Steve Butts, Gene Evans, and Ted House for a very lively roundtable today. I was telling Fred, man, it just lit up the comment section today. A lot of times the comment section can be kind of, let's just say, not a lot going on. But today, Ted House definitely got some folks fired up on his opinion. Fred just told me something that I didn't realize. We're about to get into Sue's news, but before we do that, so we've been talking about this fact with Garcia and the guy who has kind of become the whole focus point of this. And so now there's video out about him being stopped. Was it a trooper?
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, the stopping of Abrego Garcia in 2022 in Tennessee, and now we've got the videotape, or the police body cam tape of that when he was pulled over in a car with eight other people, and we've got a cut. One of the first cuts that we've got from the tape that's marked Abrego 2022 Tennessee police.
Yeah, it's
is where he actually mentions St. Louis when he's being talked to by the troopers.
I missed this one, Ethan.
Hello. Hello, sir.
How are you?
Good, and you?
All right.
Everything good?
You got a bunch of people here, don't you?
It's one for seat. Yes. Go back to work.
Gotcha. Where are you working at?
Where? San Luis, Missouri.
Hey. Missouri?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I'm from Maryland.
Where do y'all live at?
Where I live in?
Mm-hmm.
I live in Maryland.
Maryland?
Yeah, also.
Whose vehicle is it?
What, excuse me?
Whose car is it?
It's to my boss.
Your boss?
My boss, yeah.
Where's he live?
Where's
your boss live?
My boss right now is staying in Maryland, but he lives in Texas.
Okay.
In Houston, Texas.
He lives in Houston, Texas.
So I think he said he left from Houston, Texas.
He left from Houston, Texas. My broken Spanish is hard. I'm not good at that. How about that? I'm better with the Tennessee language. I get that. Growing up in Arkansas, the Tennessee makes sense to me. I had never heard that part of where do you work? St. Louis, St. Louis, Missouri.
Like, yeah. And then the second cut that we've got of him is when the troopers to themselves after they let him go, or while they were trying to figure out what to do, they were talking about, they think he is really trafficking people.
You know what you got here, right?
No.
He's hauling these people for money. You got a dollar is what he's doing, but there's eight people in there.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that. Yeah. They put an extra roll of seats in there.
Yeah, yeah. So he's getting paid to haul these people, probably to Maryland, I would say, if I had my guess.
He said they all work together. What he's telling me, but he's the only one that knows
so
English.
So let me ask you this. They don't have any luggage in there, right? And if you get them out, they're going to have a toothpaste, and they're going to have toothbrushes in their pockets, I guarantee it.
He's got $1,400 cash in his pocket in an envelope.
How about that? So that just kind of shows you, when they see this trafficking, they know exactly what to look for. And to talk about the fact that nobody has ID, nobody has luggage, but they all have toothpaste and toothbrushes in their pockets right now. I guess they wanted to make sure wherever they're going, they have fresh breath. Is that what we're learning here about smuggling? If you're going to smuggle, your hygiene with dental care is really the most important thing that you want to take care of. I don't know where that comes from. I did not expect to hear that they're going to have toothbrushes in their pockets. But I digress. It's Friday. I don't want to delay this anymore because it's my favorite part of the show. It's time for Sue's News.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio.
Let's try that again, shall we?
Okay, what happened?
Take two. All right.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
It just feels like it's a Friday to me. Does it feel that way to you?
Yeah, finally.
It kind of does.
Happy Brother and Sister Day.
Whoa, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
That is.
Oh, the bell's already broken. Hold on.
So what's your sibling history, Sue?
I have one sibling. His name is Jeff. He lives in Houston. And, we get along pretty well. That's really nice. Now, Fred, you have a bunch of sisters.
I have three older sisters, Yvonne, Darlene, and Kathy. And we all get around great. We get along great. We see each other every week.
And you're the baby.
I'm the baby.
Yeah.
I am. Mike?
I am the baby as well. I have one sister. We don't see each other that often just because I don't get back home. And she doesn't get up here very often.
Arkansas,
She's down in Fayetteville. Yeah. So 6.5 years older than me.
And Ethan?
I have two sisters, Malin and Bella. They are both younger than me. So I am the oldest. And Bella is just started college. Malin recently graduated from college. And we get along great. And they still live on the Illinois side. But still see them, once every month, 6 weeks.
Good deal.
That's not bad.
No.
Not bad at all. Well, I will say that according to AI, it provides a chance this day to appreciate and reflect on the unique bond shared by siblings. It's also No Pants Day. Just throw that in.
Hey,
those should not be on
right.
the same day.
I know, it does seem weird.
Brother-sister No Pants Day does not go to well.
You're supposed to wear undergarments instead of pants. This, of course, was not started here, but in New York City.
That
Shocker.
Makes sense.
It would have been that or California. On this day in history, 92 years ago, in 1933, it was the first sighting of the Loch Ness Monster in Scotland. It was reported when a couple drove by and saw, quote, an enormous animal rolling and plunging on the surface of Loch Ness. Of course, that doesn't exist, but people love it. Fred, Loch Ness Monster?
I'm a no. But if it did exist, it'd be 92 years old.
Exactly. Thank you for that.
How many? You said the first sighting. Were there a lot of sightings?
Oh, yeah. Once somebody says we think there's a Loch Ness Monster, then, of course, there are sightings. It's like Bigfoot. It's like Bigfoot.
Gotcha.
And on this day in history, 14 years ago, it was in 2011, when Osama bin Laden was killed by U.S. forces. And it happened at 1 a.m. local time in Pakistan. But from our perspective, President Obama announced it to us the night before at 11:30 Eastern on May 1st. It's tough to nail down that day if you're going Pakistan time or not. Now, the big thing happening this weekend, besides all of St. Louis and the games tonight, what time, by the way, is the hockey game? What time's the Blues
7 game? 7 o'clock, right?
Puck drop is at 7 o'clock, which means that, if you're getting back from dinner or something, it really shouldn't start until more like 7:15, 7:20, so you have a little bit of buffer time.
Okay, that's good. And the Kentucky Derby is tomorrow at Churchill Downs. We'll talk about that later, I assume,
Joe
Fred.
Arnold, yep.
Okay. It is the oldest continuously held sporting event in the United States. This will be the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby. And NBC coverage will begin at 1:30 our time, but the Derby itself won't start until about 5:57. I like to tune into this every now and then. You see the big hats. They have random, they had Dale Jr. one time was covering the Kentucky Derby, which really amused me. So he would throw to some other random person. I don't know that you could watch all of it continuously, but it's kind of fun to see.
Joe Arnold's going to be on with us next hour. We're going to talk a little Kentucky Derby.
That's right. And go ahead.
I just want to say something I think is cool about the Kentucky Derby, and I guess really the Triple Crown races, but specifically this one, is that I imagine horse racing probably used to be a way bigger thing in the United States than it is. But the Kentucky Derby almost has this or it doesn't almost, it does have this tradition to it that regardless of like how irrelevant horse racing is now, everyone knows, at least in America, right, what the Kentucky Derby is.
And, of course.
And so many people tune into it. And I think that there is something to say about that.
The mint julep watching and the hats and yeah, the blah, blah.
There's something to say about that charm that something old and vintage like that brings.
Yeah, horse racing is really just an excuse to dress up and drink.
Maybe. Hey, what were you going to say, Brad?
I just love watching all the pregame.
Me too. It's just
the
fun.
Pomp and circumstance.
Watch them behind the paddock.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's just cool to see. By the way, young Ethan, do yourself a favor and watch all the triple crown winnings of Secretariat.
It is one of, in my opinion, the most underrated sports movies.
Oh, so good.
It is phenomenal. Love that movie.
Love that movie. But if you watch, you can look on YouTube and watch.
Oh,
of course,
I've
actually
watched Belmont.
Okay,
I've watched the Belmont.
Oh.
But in Secretariat, there's
so
that
awesome
scene where he comes around the corner.
Yeah.
And, oh, Happy Day starts playing.
Yes.
And I just get goosebumps.
I do too. It's so awesome. And, okay, 20 horses are in the race. All are 3-year-old thoroughbreds. The sons of 2 Triple Crown winners will be running. American Pharoah, he won in 2015. His sons are Publisher and Luxor Cafe. And Justify, who won in 2018, has a son called American Promise. And the race winner this year will get over $3 million.
Wow.
Not too shabby.
Wow.
Okay, Fred found this story. I love it when Fred finds me stories that are, it's just like, say what? Okay. Driverless trucks are running regular long-haul routes between Dallas and Houston. They're trying this out.
Mm-hmm.
And Aurora has launched commercial service in Texas with Uber Freight and Hirschbach Motor Lines as its first customers. Aurora's CEO has said, "We are the first company to successfully and safely operate a commercial driverless trucking service on public roads." Now, they do this, the trucks are equipped with sensors that they can see the length of over 4 football fields and have completed over 1,200 miles without a human in a truck. If you saw it, how badly are you freaked out, Ethan?
Oh, have you not seen my face?
Yes,
I'm extremely concerned. I imagine this is probably just going to be something that if you're uncomfortable with it, you're just going to have to get used to it because you're looking you're looking at the future.
Exactly. Mike Elam.
I think it's coming more and more. I think you're going to see it quite a bit. We started doing this thing years ago of the Gateway Greenlight program out in St. Charles, laying fiber to every traffic signal in the county, but part of that is to help driverless vehicles because you need
cool.
to have infrastructure for them, for the vehicles to be able to interact with.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're going to see a lot of that.
Fred, you want, huh?
Oh, no, I think it would freak me out, but I'm trying to think. You might not notice it as easily
see,
when you're on the highway.
It.
I wouldn't
know
that
because the cameras are up so high.
Yeah.
Now, if it was on the street and they pulled up to me at a stoplight and there was no one in the car or the truck, that would kind of like be really weird.
The last thing I will say about it is if I am to get in a wreck with anyone, I would rather it be
a driverless truck.
Uh-huh.
I understand.
Cha-ching.
I had one time a tractor trailer run into me on the Poplar Street Bridge. I was coming back from the airport I was not flying the helicopter. I was sitting in the back seat like I do. And I had a bike rack on, and he just smashed it and pushed me off the bridge. Well, at the time, the mayor was somebody we knew. Come on, what's that? Karen Kelly's husband. Oh. Anyway, I called him while I was on the phone, and I said, this truck is pushing me across the... He said, all right, pull over and get the plate number. And they eventually got him because they found him by cameras or something. But that was the freakiest experience I've ever had.
He said, pushed you off the bridge?
Just pushed me off a ramp. Just pushed me a little ways. It was scary.
Oh,
I had my brakes on. Then I thought, I better just not put my foot on the brakes. It'll burn them out.
I will feel bad for the kids at some point if that becomes the norm, because there's no more getting the trucker to honk at you when they drive by.
Well, that's true.
You know, just a lost art.
But we've learned, though, from all these Teslas, how much cameras are around them, then we see all the people doing the damage to them. So I imagine it's just the same on a larger scale.
I would figure.
And it's going to happen. Unions, though, of course, representing truck drivers are concerned about job loss and safety. It's going to be a thing as this stuff happens.
It's not going to make for new Teamster members, that's for sure.
No, it is not.
I'm just stuck trying to figure out who the mayor was.
Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Wasn't he a police chief?
What the heck? Yes. I'm sorry.
He was police chief, not mayor.
I apologize. You're absolutely right. He was police chief. Sam.
Yes.
Sam Dotson.
Thank you. Yeah. It's Friday, people.
It feels like Friday.
Thank you for that. Mayor. Sorry.
Hey.
I've promoted.
Tried it. Sam probably would have liked that.
Yeah, he probably would have.
Yeah.
Okay, this is just weird. I guess it happens every now and then. A Civil War era cannonball got thrown away in Michigan the other day. They just threw it out. Oh, oopsie. Don't want it. Let's put it here in the old dumpster. And the bomb squad had to be called to make sure it wouldn't explode. We've got some sound. There's an employee of Kent County Public Works talking about the item.
Definitely piqued most people's interest in the office, I would say. Everyone wanted to see it. At that point, it was kind of like, yeah, okay, let's get this out of here and figure out what to do next. After our staff kind of took a look at it, did an initial examination, we decided it was best to call Grand Rapids Police Department. Once police arrived and confirmed that it was possibly explosive, that's when they evacuated the building. So it was brought outside. The bomb squad unit secured it in a bag.
Can you believe that?
So did it have a gunpowder pack attached to it or something?
Nobody could tell. No, it's on the inside, right?
Oh, the gunpowder was on the inside of the cannonball.
I don't believe gunpowder. Whatever it is, they couldn't tell. And it looked like it may be alive, so they had to have the bomb squad come and check it out. Because you can't just say, woo, I wonder if this isn't.
Why would you throw away a Civil War cannon?
I don't know.
Maybe they didn't know that's what it was. Or they just hate war. You know, there's some people. I'm just kidding.
They just wanted it out.
Yeah.
They were probably afraid of it.
In my front yard. That, don't tread on me.
Right?
That would be on eBay. I'm getting paid.
Boy. In education this week, a study found that kids learn to read and write better if they do it the old-fashioned way. Handwriting is better than using a keyboard. Mm. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I think the action of that, because when you're doing a keyboard, especially as a kid, you're thinking about what letters you're hitting rather than what you're writing.
Yeah, and I don't think any teacher would make you type out on a keyboard 100 times. You know, I will not talk in class.
Exactly.
I have often heard that if you want to remember something and stick it into your head better, handwriting it out actually makes it real.
I thought that was interesting.
Too bad kids can't handwrite.
Which is another thing to think about during COVID when you were shut down. Everybody's typing. The whole thing just gets worse.
I thought cursive was kind of dying.
Cursive is, but do kids, I mean, is that not, is none of that taught now in schools?
I don't know.
I don't know if they learn cursive.
I don't think they do cursive anymore, but I think they do, regular letters.
Okay.
I got to tell you, though, I never write anything anymore. And my penmanship, I was writing something the other day. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, my penmanship was never good, but now I could be a doctor.
Chicken scratch.
You could.
It was that bad.
And in beach season news, should we start putting LEDs on bathing suits? A study found that if you have an LED on your bathing suit, that just the light will lower the risk of being attacked at the beach by a great white shark. I guess that light would freak them out.
Oh, I would light myself up.
I was hearing a story earlier today, and I'll have to go look this up and figure out more about it, but they were talking about all of the diseased animals that are washing up on the beaches because of the stuff that's in the water. And they're rescuing these sea lions and all that stuff that are dying. And lifeguards are having to take time off because they're so traumatized.
They're grieving.
Grieving from all the sea life that's dying.
Oh, my gosh. And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact. The exclamation point did not become a standard key on the keyboard until 1970.
Really?
Wow.
What was there before?
Before that, you had to type a period, then use the backspace to go back and stick an apostrophe above it.
I did not know that.
I didn't either. And that's it for Sue's News.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Well, that was an interesting little tidbit today. I wonder what used to be on that key. that they used to have there.
I don't know.
It had a confused emoji, and that's what you type. No, it's somebody yelling really loud. We are going to talk to Paul Hall. I love when Paul Hall is here because there are so many things. My life is rather busy. You may figure that, right? I love it when Paul comes in because I don't have a lot going on this weekend, and this is going to be a binge Paul Hall favorites kind of weekend. That is coming up next. Oh, what a night on a Friday. Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So welcome to Friday. You finally made it to the weekend. Thank God we've made it here. And I'm hoping the rain stops because I'm kind of sick of it. But thank God my sump pump is running. I saw that this morning when I was leaving the house as there was water running all down the street. And I'm sure my neighbors are thrilled. But on a sunshine note, Paul Hall is joining us from Comic Guy Films. Paul, how are you?
Sunshine, lollipops, and... Oh, sorry. I'm getting in my own world here.
I feel your
well.
Pain.
How are you?
You know, I'm very good. I'm talking to you. So that means that the world is all right and things are great. Although, you are going to talk about something with Jack Black and this whole Minecraft thing that Sue was talking about earlier this week, because you're going to hit on her favorite song of all time now, Lava Chicken.
That's the sound of sizzling. Mm-hmm. Smell that smell. La 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 lava. Chicken. Steve's lava chicken. Yes, tasty as hell.
That has turned out to be the song that Sue has baked in her brain at this point,
oh,
Paul.
Oh my gosh. It's just, I can't get it out, Paul Hall, but it's such a great scene. And I don't know anything about Minecraft. I had to have Ethan explain it.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You don't have to know anything about Minecraft to just be goofy. And Minecraft's not necessarily the best movie out there on the planet, but the music is catchy. Jack Black is fun. The memes out there are kind of silly and hysterical. And now, Warner Brothers is re-releasing the movie into select theaters. Now, this is very limited. They're in St. Louis. You can go out to the Draft House for... shows, it looks like one a day for the next week or so.
Wow.
Check their website for listings, but they're doing what's called the Minecraft Block Party edition of the movie, which allows you to come in, and while they were trying to tone you down a little bit in theaters because it was getting out of hand, and I can attest to that firsthand, now these special editions, they want you to come in and sing. They're going to have lyrics, and it's going to be sing-along, and it's going to be a very different experience. Now, they're really clear with you. You can see it the regular way. They'll have other showings of the regular way. But if you go into the Block Party edition, no yelling about my singing.
Okay, Paul, is this just them caving to people who are doing this anyway and throwing stuff?
I think a little bit, but it's also giving people that outlet. I think one day they want this to be kind of on that level of a movie celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I was going to ask you about that.
That type of experience, where it's an experience to come to the theater. And because it took off like it did, and some of these things took off without their help, now it's a way to kind of extend their life. Maybe next year they come back with it again, or they have those late night shows that they do with it. All those things to kind of make it more of an event than just a movie.
I remember years ago when I was in Little Rock and they had midnight showings of the Rocky yep. Horror Picture Show, and people would show up in costume. And this one guy went all out, showed up in a Hertz and had his friends bring him in a casket.
Yeah.
They opened up the casket. He got out, bought his ticket and walked in dressed as the transvestite doctor.
Wow.
We will see this stuff again this year, Mike. They announced this week again, this is the 50-year anniversary year. So obviously when those things happen, studios kind of go all out for movies like this. You will get 4K enhanced screenings that will be out there as the year progresses. You'll get a new Blu-ray release of it. You're going to get a chance to go back to the theater complete with your kid of fun stuff to throw at the screen and whatnot. So Rocky Horror is coming back again this year in big time fashion at a lot of theaters near you. We'll see when we actually get dates and we can let people know where they want to go if that's their cup of tea.
Rocky Horror with Walkers and Depends. That's going to be exciting. We'll see. That could be ugly. Hey, got another sound clip for you. Another Simple Favor coming out on Prime Video. Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick are back.
Emily, how are you here?
I'm getting married.
Will you be my maid of honor? Did I mention it was in Capri?
Capri? Yes, she is in. We're all in.
Why am I here? You think I want to make you pay for stealing my life?
There you go, Paul.
Yes, she does want to make her. Well, maybe. You'll have to see the movie. I'm not going to give it all to you. I got a chance to see this actually in a theater. Amazon Prime and the good folks at MGM had a screening for me in a theater of this one. And here's the story. For those of you who like A Simple Favor released back in 2018 and have been waiting for this, maybe you want to go see it. For the rest of us that maybe aren't necessarily number one on that list, I wanted to like this. Anna Kendrick, I love. Blake Lively, obviously in the news these days for all the wrong reasons. So maybe I thought this would get me to the a better place with her. And I love director Paul Feig. There are moments in this film I laughed out loud, and I had a good time with it. But there's more moments that I absolutely hated and despised everything about this film. And that is that kind of confluence of just everything going on screen. They can be very funny. They can also be so annoying that you want to beat things up. And the ending is terrible. But put it on in the background this weekend if you have Prime Video. You're not paying any extra for it. You know, you've already got Prime service and you've already got Prime Video. Put it on in the background and let the good stuff come and the other stuff just fold laundry or something. Another Simple Favor is on Prime Video as of yesterday.
I do love the fact that you said, I really wanted to like this, but I just couldn't. That's hilarious.
Paul Feig is funny. He's a good dude. I've met Paul, actually, and he's a good guy. He directs funny things. This had so many places where it didn't work that it just overwhelmed the places where it did.
It had so many possibilities, but it just didn't live up to it. Speaking of which, Rust. So I'm understanding the producers are saying that they're releasing this, but they're not going to make any money off this. How could that be?
Well, they're not going to keep the profits on this. The profits are going to Helene Hutchins and the family there. Of the woman who was unfortunately killed on the set of Rust. We all didn't know if this would ever see the light of day. It's one of those films that, obviously, with all the history behind it, it's tough viewing. Because even if you try, and as a critic's face, I come in and I try to shut out everything around it and just watch the movie for what it is. The movie, for what it is decent, but way too long and way too dull at points. That said, there's so many distractions about this one because the plot of this one, Mike and Sue, is the fact that Baldwin plays a character that comes to rescue a kid after accidentally shooting somebody.
It
keeps putting things in your mind. There's a lot of gun instances in here. And I am not averse to guns in movies. If they work, they work. This one just, a lot of it doesn't work from the standpoint of obviously what went on outside of it. I'd love you all to see it just so that Helene's family gets money. I'd love to say, everybody take a look, you know, somewhere. Right now it's in very, very limited theaters and it's on demand. So it's one of those things you'd have to, you know, call up and rent or buy from Prime Video, or you could buy it or rent it from your local Charter or Spectrum or whatever service. But it just is uncomfortable to watch at times. It's not an awful movie. It's too long. But it's uncomfortable. It's a shame. It's a shame.
Hey, Paul, it's Ethan here. I just had a quick question about this. I don't know at what point the accident occurred during the filming, during the entire process of the creation of this movie. But would it have been better if they would have maybe tried to go with some casting changes to make this not be feel like it's hitting so close to home with everything that happened? Or were they just too far in at that point?
I don't know as far as that goes, Ethan. The fact of the matter is the accidental shooting that occurs in this film is like literally within the first 10 minutes of the movie. So a lot of what you would have to do to this is kind of rework much of what
thing.
Is given here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. And here's the quirky, I guess, part, shall we say. Quirky is probably not the right word to use here, but the young boy who does this accidental shooting is sentenced to hang.
Oh, wow.
Gosh.
Yeah, I had
I'm
no
not
interest
tell you
in
whether
this.
It happens or not, but he's sentenced to hang, and Baldwin's character comes to kind of play the potentially the rescuer in the scenario.
I really had no interest in this movie before all this stuff happened, and now I can't imagine that that's helped at all.
I
really
love giving
hasn't.
You stuff that you want to see, Mike. You know how I am.
I know. Well, so let me ask you this. Fred didn't tell me you want to talk about it or not, but Mission Impossible, is that this weekend?
No.
We've got about 2.5 weeks. That's going to be the weekend.
23rd.
May 23rd is the date on that.
Have you seen that yet?
I have not yet. It is one I've been waiting for. They've kind of changed some of the naming conventions around the last couple Mission Impossible movies. The last one that was released, if you remember when it came out, it was named Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. Now it's just kind of Dead Reckoning, and this is the final reckoning, which make your own conclusions. That's the same as Part 2 of Part 1. But if you're looking for the original, the Part 1 is no longer attached when you look for it on the streaming services. And I know Paramount Plus has it, a couple others do, where you can go through and watch, you know, the 7 leading up to this, and just it's big budget, it's fun. Cruise doing his own stunts is kind of one of those things too. You bring from the outside in, and you watch it, and you go, "Wow!" So I can't wait. I can't wait. It's when summer really kicks off. It's over that Memorial Day weekend. Mission Impossible and the new Lilo and Stitch movie, which is tracking really well, both open the same weekend. So doesn't matter who you are, you can get yourself out to the theater on Memorial Day weekend for sure.
Paul, I always enjoy when I get to fill in and you're on the show. It always just brightens my day. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. If people want to follow you, how do they do that?
It's simple, comaguy.com. And I've got some cool stuff coming out over at Remind Magazine. I just put an article up. Believe it or not, there's a link between the movie Citizen Kane and Minecraft.
What?
It's up there. It's up there on remindmagazine.com, and I'll link the article for you to take a look, along with some other cool factors about Citizen Kane. I got to write about that this week. And I've got one coming out tomorrow about Code of Silence, which is 35 years old tomorrow. That'll be up there at remindmagazine.com tomorrow. And 35 years old, a lot of Chuck Norris stuff, including stuff like, you know, Chuck Norris, you know, what did he do? He can bench press the moon, you know, stuff like that. Chuck Norris, we love him.
That's awesome. Paul, have a great weekend.
You as well.
That is Paul Hall. We're going to talk with Frank Cusimano. We could probably talk to Frank for 2 hours with everything that's going on this weekend. It's the Mark Reardon Show on a Friday. Mike Elam sitting in the big chair, 97.1 FM Talk. AFCK Sports Director Frank Cusimano is on the phone with us. He is live from the Enterprise Center. Frank, it's do or die tonight for the Blues.
Yeah, and if you want to play a game in a do-or-die situation, if you're the Blues, you want to play it in this building, Mike, where they've won 14 in a row. They haven't lost here since February 22nd. So their confidence level has to feel good when they're driving to this building tonight.
You know, Ethan and I are just excited about the fact that not only is this a big Game 6, but John Gruden's supposed to be in the building tonight.
Yeah, it is just the weirdest relationship of all time.
Totally. But it's awesome.
I mean, first of all, John Gruden with hockey is strange.
It is.
John Gruden with St. Louis is strange. But they just sent him some gear, and he kind of liked it. And then he started giving these motivational texts on social media, and they've invited him to come to the game. Let me tell you, the last game, Game 4 here, I don't know if I've heard the crowd louder before the game than when we had Pat Maroon fire up the crowd with a beer in his hand.
That was awesome.
could come close. I imagine it's got to be him. Now, they like to put a former player in there. All I know is that somewhere, sometime, he's going to be up on the Jumbotron and people are going to go crazy.
Frank, obviously, Game 5 was not pretty. We're putting that one behind us. What does St. Louis have to do tonight to not revert back to any of the play style from that 5-3 loss a couple of nights ago?
Well, I think, you know, traffic in front of the net, and that seems like it's almost a cliche in the NHL, but that's what it's about. Traffic in front of the net. That's what happened with the Jets. That's why they won Game 5. That's why, you know, the Blues scored a couple of goals on that, too, with Nathan Walker. So, and I think they got, you know, it's like all these little things. Like, there were a couple of times where Colton Parayko and another defenseman allowed a Jets player to have, like, free reign in front of Jordan Binnington. So you got to pay attention. So I think that's going to be the key here tonight. I feel good about this game, but I will say this. 26 times in the history of the Blues, they've been in this situation where they were down 3-2. 22 of those times, they lost the series. So the odds are certainly not with them. And we have to remember, we're playing against the President's Trophy-winning team. They were the best team in hockey over a five-month period. What we have going for us tonight is between the pipes. We have a guy in Jordan Binnington who doesn't get rattled, who plays better on big stages. And the last time I looked at Connor Hellebuck in this building, well, he gave up 11 goals on 43 shots in games 3 and 4 and finished neither one of them. So I like our matchup in goal.
Frank, you kind of answered my next question. I mean, obviously we know that Winnipeg is without Mark Scheifele after that big hit that he took in Game 5, but they got Nicklas Ehlers coming back tonight, so perhaps those offset, but you mentioned the big name for St. Louis to watch. Is that who you're going with, Jordan Binnington, as the player to keep an eye on tonight for St. Louis?
Yeah, and I also want to say this, too, is Jordan Kyrou has been quiet this series. And, you know, for a long time, we wanted to blame in St. Louis Jordan Kyrou for everything. Crime, potholes, traffic. And what does the guy do? He scores close to 40 goals. He's an unbelievable player. He's been a little quiet in this series. It would not shock me, and I'm not sure how healthy he is, but it would not shock me if he has a big game tonight. But Binnington, obviously, is the most important player. He always is.
You know, we talk about the President's Trophy winner and all this stuff, but I seem to remember a Los Angeles Kings team way back when the Blues were the President's Trophy winner, and they kicked our butts and went on to win a Stanley Cup. Am I remembering history correctly?
Well, yeah. And in fact, to add to this is that the last time a President's Trophy winning team actually won the Stanley Cup was the 2012-2013 Chicago Blackhawks team. So a lot of times, teams that win it, they don't make long playoff runs. So that's a positive thing for the Blues.
So, Frank, I've only got about a minute left here, but I'm going to assume you're a Kentucky Derby kind of guy.
Well, yeah, I worked in Lexington for about 6 years. So I've been at a couple of derbies and love being up there Derby Week, with the sun rising, with the Twins fires in the background. It's really just a really cool event.
Do you have a favorite horse that's going to be in this, or are you just a fan of the pomp and circumstance that goes along with the whole event?
I have not followed it as closely this year like I should. I got a great friend named Kenny Rice who's going to be on the broadcast for NBC, and I usually text him the night before, who should I bet on, and he gives me a good idea.
That's awesome. Hey, Frank, bring home a winner for us tonight, man. I like our chances tonight. I just hope we get to a Game 7, and that way we live to fight another day, right?
That would be awesome. Guys, you have a great night. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Frank.
That is KSTK Sports Director Frank Cusumano. We are going to talk to Joe Arnold a little bit later on next hour, who's a longtime Louisville broadcaster, about the Kentucky Derby. But after the top of the hour, we're going to check in with our chief legal analyst, Brad Young, and he's going to tell us about what's going on with all the legal cases on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.